You see, we overcome the world's system, the world and everything that's in it, Satan, sin, and death. We overcome through faith in Jesus. And when you've trusted in Jesus Christ, you have eternal life. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in him shall not perish, but have everlasting life.
Welcome to this midweek edition of Equipping the Saints. Equipping the Saints is a daily radio outreach from Equipping Bible Church in Greer, South Carolina. Greg, today you'll be continuing your look at false teachers.
Yes, we will, Dave, and we're going to see that the false prophets of Ezekiel's time were not going to get away with what they were doing. Indeed, they would experience God's wrath. Okay, with this in mind, let's turn to our passage in Ezekiel chapter 13, and we're looking at verses 8 through 23.
Well, thanks, Greg. And if you're new to Equipping the Saints, head over to our website, etsradio.org. That's etsradio.org, to learn more about this ministry and our teacher, Pastor Greg Lundstedt. Our web address is simply etsradio.org. Now, with today's message, here's our teacher, Greg Lundstedt.
They see falsehood and lying divination who are saying, "The Lord declares," when the Lord has not sent them. Yet they hope for the fulfillment of their word. Did you not see a false vision and speak a lying divination when you said, "The Lord declares"? But it is not I who have spoken. So you might remember we saw last week, and I'm not going to go through it in detail, but the Lord revealed these people who they were. First of all, they're foolish. In Scripture, fools are those who have rejected God. The fool has said in his heart, "There is no God." And these foolish prophets were those who didn't know the Lord, as we'll see, because they're going to go to judgment. They're non-believers claiming to be the Lord's, claiming to speak for him. And we saw also that they follow their own spirit. They follow their own spirit and they prophesy from their own inspiration and have seen nothing. As we'll see, they inflate things in their head and they speak for God when God is not speaking through them. You might remember from Hebrews chapter 1 that God spoke long ago to the fathers through the prophets in many portions and in many ways, but now has spoken through his Son. We have his completed word now, but back before God spoke in different ways and he spoke through. But these were false prophets. And then we saw that these bad guys are at home in the midst of spiritual ruin. You wonder why bad teachers and false prophets can stay in churches and while they're messing with people. Well, they love it. They're at home there. "Oh, Israel, your prophets are like foxes among ruins." It's the picture is a fox scavenging for food among the ruins. They're profiting from the ruin of people, the ruin of the people that they're supposed to be feeding and turning to the Lord. And then we saw that they don't confront sin. Verse 5, "You have not gone up into the breaches, nor did you build a wall around the house of Israel to stand in the battle of the day of the Lord." They didn't confront sin. Jeremiah really made it clear, and you can turn to Jeremiah 23. The Lord made it clear. Now remember, Jeremiah is prophesying to the Jews in Jerusalem while Ezekiel is prophesying to the exiles in Babylon. Okay? And Jeremiah says in Jeremiah 23:20, this is the Lord speaking, "Then the anger of the Lord will not turn back until he's performed and carried out the purposes of his heart. In the last days, you will clearly understand it. I did not send these prophets, but they ran. I did not speak to them, but they prophesied. But if they had stood in my counsel, they would have announced my words to my people and would have turned them back from their evil way and from the evil of their deeds." He's saying, hey, I didn't send them where they would have shared my word and they would have turned them from their deeds. But they have not done that. They don't confront sin. They are non-believing fools who speak from their own hearts rather than from God's word. They live among the spiritual ruin and they love it. And they don't confront sin. And then we saw that they see nothing, emptiness, and they have lying divination. They're liars. Verse 6, they see falsehood and lying divination who are saying, "The Lord declares," when the Lord has not sent them, yet they hope for the fulfillment of their word. Ezekiel 13, verse 6. And then verse 7, did you not see a false vision? Or you could say, didn't you envision nothing? There was nothing there. It speaks of emptiness. And speak a lying divination when you said, "The Lord declares." but it is not I have spoken. You see, Satan is the father of lies, John 8. And these false prophets spoke from their own hearts. God didn't speak through them. He didn't speak to them, and they didn't speak through them. It's a man-centered message that's supposedly from the Lord, but comes from the father of lies. It's a lying divination. And then we see they speak for God when he hasn't sent them. Verse 7, did you not see a false vision and speak a lying divination when you said, the Lord declares, but it is not I who have spoken? Despite what these false prophets were saying to Israel, they weren't speaking for God, even though they would declare, thus says the Lord. So it's pretty discouraging. You look out on the internet, you look at other churches and places, you know, they're good churches, but they're bad churches. There are people who are not speaking for God, but claiming to speak for God. And there are people being deceived and lives being ruined and destroyed. And it's discouraging, especially when we see it maybe in people we know who have been caught up in things. Bad doctrine, bad teaching, things where we see what happens to their lives and it hurts our hearts. But the Lord's not going to let it continue. Let's look at our passage now. We're going to see that God is against them. Verse 8, therefore thus says the Lord God, because you have spoken falsehood and seen a lie, therefore, behold, I'm against you, declares the Lord. So my hand will be against those prophets who see false visions and utter lying divinations. They will have no place in the council of my people, nor will they be written down in the register of the house of Israel, nor will they enter the land of Israel, that you may know that I am the Lord. It is definitely because they have misled my people, saying peace when there's no peace. And anyone who builds a wall, behold, they plaster over it with whitewash. So tell those who plaster over it with whitewash that it will fall. A flooding rain will come, and you, O hailstones, will fall, and a violent wind will break out. Behold, when the wall has fallen, will you not be asked, where is the plaster which you plastered it? Therefore, thus says the Lord, I will make a violent wind break out in my wrath. There will also be in my anger a flooding rain and hailstones to consume it in wrath. So I shall tear down the wall which you have plastered over with whitewash and bring down to the ground, so that its foundation is laid bare. And when it falls, you will be consumed in its midst, and you will know that I am the Lord. Then I shall spend my wrath on the wall and on those who have plastered over it with whitewash, and I shall say to you, the wall is gone, and its plasters are gone, along with the prophets of Israel who prophesy to Jerusalem, and those who see visions for peace for her when there is no peace, declares the Lord. So I believe we're going to see from our text today, first of all, the doom of these false prophets, the future doom. They're not going to get away with it. Notice he says, therefore, in verse 8. He's saying, therefore, and if you look in verse 8, you see, therefore, thus, because you, therefore, behold. You got a statement here. Therefore, thus, because you, therefore, behold. So therefore, because these are bad guys, as we'll see. Therefore, he says here, because you have spoken falsehood and seen a lie, therefore, behold, I am against you, declares the Lord. The Lord is not for those who speak a lie. He is not for those who declare for him lies, who say it's from him, but it's not. He is not for them. And this is a horrifying thought, the God of the universe against you. Therefore, I am against you, he says. Verse 9, so my hand will be against the prophets who see false visions and utter lying divinations. It's exactly what we saw earlier in verses 6 and 7. They see false, the word false means empty. It's they envision things. They make it up in their heads. And they bring forth lying divination, saying, this is what the Lord says. But it isn't. So he says, so my hand will be against them who see false visions and lying divination. You see, James makes it clear that there are two types of wisdom. There's wisdom from above and wisdom from below. And he talks about the wisdom from below. He says, it's not that which comes from above, but is earthly, natural, and demonic. You know, when Peter, the believer, was thinking his own thoughts, when he was thinking man's thoughts, not God's, the Lord said, get behind me, Satan, for you're not thinking God's thoughts, but man's, basically. That's what he said. And so these people speak out of their own hearts. They lean on their own understanding. They say it comes from God. They deceitfully package it as God's word. But it is demonic, satanic, no matter how much. You know, we're so naive. Someone says, I love Jesus and I love this and that, that people just listen. Oh, yeah, it must be good. Well, test everything by the word of God. Make sure that it's so. So the Lord is against them. And thus, verse 9, his hand will be against the prophets who see visions and utter lying divinations. So the Lord shares this in absolute terms, that the end is coming for them. And notice what he says. He's going to share three specific things that will be the result. He says, first of all, middle of verse 9, they will have no place in the council of my people. Oh, what's he saying here? He's saying the time will come when the influence of these false prophets upon God's people will be removed. They will have no more opportunity to influence God's people with their false visions and lying divinations, with their wicked counsel. Future tense, they will have no place in the council of my people. You see, when God's judgment comes upon them, they're not going to be around anymore. And the same thing, when his judgment comes upon this earth, we'll be spared from that. We're not destined for wrath. Those who are false will be dealt with. And notice, secondly, he says, nor will they be written down in the register of the house of Israel. This is an interesting statement. It may seem like a small thing, some book in the house of Israel, whatever. What's he talking about here? I believe he's saying they're not going to be considered to be God's people. You see, God made a covenant with Israel, and they're his people, but those who reject him and don't trust in him are not his people ultimately. Those who do not have forgiveness of sins. He says they won't be written down in the register. Indeed, we see later on in Scripture that if anyone's name is not written in the Lamb's Book of Life, they're thrown into the lake of fire. Look at Revelation chapter 20. In Revelation, we have the tribulation, and then we have the Lord coming in judgment and then saving Israel. But then later, we see after the thousand-year reign of Christ on earth, we have the great white throne judgment. And this is for all of those who have rejected Christ. Revelation 20, verse 11. And I saw a great white throne and him who sat upon it, from whose presence heaven and earth fled away, and there was no place found for them. And I saw the dead, the great and small, standing before the throne, and books were opened. And another book was opened, which is the book of life. And the dead were judged from the things which were written in the books according to their deeds. And the sea gave up the dead which were in it, and death and Hades gave up the dead which were in them. And they were judged, every one of them, according to their deeds. And death and Hades were thrown into the lake of fire. This is the second death, the lake of fire. And if anyone's name was not found written in the book of life, he was thrown in the lake of fire. There's a book of life, God says. And if your name's not in there, you're thrown in the lake of fire. Now, how do we have our names in there? Well, we see in Revelation 3:5 that he who overcomes, the Lord Jesus says, they'll be clothed with white garments, and they will not have his name erased from the book of life. That's just a way of saying that they're in the book of life. And you say, well, how does somebody overcome? How do I overcome? Turn to 1 John 5, and we'll see the answer. As John, inspired by the Spirit, wrote Revelation, also wrote 1 John. It is only those who overcome who are in the book of life. And how does that happen? 1 John 5, verse 2. By this we know we love the children of God, when we love God and observe his commandments. For this is the love of God, that we keep his commandments. That's his commands, not his 10 commandments, his commands. And his commandments are not burdensome. Hey, to obey when we're trusting Jesus isn't a burden. If we're not trusting him, it is. For whatever is born of God does what? Overcomes the world. And this is the victory that has overcome the world, our faith. And who is the one who overcomes the world but he who believes that Jesus is the Son of God? You see, we overcome the world's system, the world and everything that's in it, Satan, sin, and death. We overcome through faith in Jesus. And when you've trusted in Jesus Christ, you have eternal life. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in him shall not perish, but have everlasting life. So, he's saying back in our passage that these bad guys will not be written in the register of Israel, implying that they're not true Jews in a sense, those who truly know the Lord and are his. So these false prophets will no longer be able to deceive as being identified as God's people, and they won't be identified as God's people. And this reminds me of something, and I'll read this. In Revelation 3, verse 8, when the Lord is encouraging the church of Philadelphia that's faithful, they're discouraged, but he's encouraging them. And he says to them, Revelation 3, 8, I know your deeds. Behold, I have put before you an open door which no one can shut, because you have little power and have kept my word and have not denied my name. Then the Lord Jesus says to the church of Philadelphia, behold, I will cause those who are of the synagogue of Satan, who say they are Jews and are not, but lie. Behold, I'll make them come and bow down at your feet to know that I have loved you. You see, there are those who claim to be God's people. God's going to reveal someday that they're not. He's going to reveal that. And in our passage, they're not going to enter the land. They're not in the register. You see very clearly. And notice the third thing. So their influence will be removed. Their names will be scrubbed in a sense. And lastly, end of verse 9, nor will they enter the land of Israel, that you may know that I'm the Lord. So you say, wait a second, I thought they were already in the land of Israel. How can they enter it? Well, I think he's talking more in eternal sense. They're not going to enter. They're not going to make it in. Their end is sure. Look at Jeremiah 14:14. Turn there. Then the Lord said to me, the prophets who are prophesying falsehood in my name, I have neither sent them, nor commanded them, nor spoken to them. They are prophesying to you a false vision, divination, futility, and the deception of their own minds. Therefore, thus says the Lord concerning the prophets who are prophesying in my name, although it was not I who sent them, yet they keep saying, there shall be no sword or famine in the land, but by sword and famine those prophets shall meet their end. See, and they're going to be judged. You know, false prophets are everywhere, false churches all over the place. There's all kinds of bad stuff, but they're not going to get away with it. And notice what he says, ultimately, that you may know, end of verse 9, that I am the Lord. 63 times in the book of Ezekiel, we have this phrase in some sense that you will know that I am the Lord. 63 times. And we see in Scripture that man comes to the knowledge of Jesus Christ as the Lord by two ways. One, by acknowledging their sin and trusting in him. Whoever will call upon the name of the Lord will be saved. And voluntarily, we recognize that he's the Lord. We recognize that. But if you reject him and you harden your heart, there will be a day when in judgment you acknowledge him as the Lord. And that's what he's talking about here. These false prophets didn't acknowledge the Lord at all. They said they spoke for him. But someday they will know when they're judged that he is the Lord. You know, the Lord would talk to people in Luke 6:46. Why do you call me Lord, Lord, and not do what I say? He's trying to say, hey, maybe there's something spiritually wrong with you. You see, when I didn't know the Lord and I thought I did, I didn't obey him at all. And I didn't really care. And then when I came to know the Lord, I don't obey him perfectly. I mess up. I fail. But I want to obey him. And there's a change in my heart. And there's a change in the hearts of those who come to faith in Jesus. We want to obey him. We want to do what he says. And we grieve over it when we fail, right? You see, every knee someday will bow. Every tongue will confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. And right now, you can bow your heart. Lord Jesus, I believe you died for my sins, and you rose from the dead. Save me. Or, when he judges you, you will know he's the Lord. Don't let it be the latter. So this is not a pretty picture for the false prophets. And you say, okay, I get it. I understand this is happening back in Israel, back when they were exiled and the false prophets who were leading them astray. They're going to be judged. I get that. It happened. I saw that in Scripture. Okay. But what about the false teachers now? I read this earlier, but turn to 2 Peter chapter 2. They're not going to get away with it. Just like God brought judgment, he's going to give three examples of judgment that were sure. The same thing, the false teachers aren't going to get away with it. And that should be an encouragement to us. 2 Peter 2, verse 1. But false prophets also arose among the people, just as there will also be false teachers among you, who will secretly introduce destructive heresies. That's what they do. They sneak it in, God, by the way. Even denying the master who bought them, bringing swift destruction upon themselves. and many will follow their sensuality. And because of them, the way of truth will be maligned. We see that these days, these guys who claim to follow the Lord, and the way of truth is maligned. People look at the wacky bad guys on TBN and different places and say, what kind of junk is that? And they malign the Lord when it's not the Lord. It's the bad guys speaking for him when they're not speaking for him, right? It says, and the way of truth will be maligned. And he says here, and in their greed, we'll see this in it, they will exploit you with false word. The word means, their false means plastic. Moldable words. They're wordsmiths. They're really good at what they do. They don't share the word of God, but they exploit you with false words. And he says here, their judgment from long ago is not idle, and their destruction is not asleep. And he'll go on to say, hey, just like Sodom and Gomorrah, just like the angels who strayed, just like what happened in those places, just like what happened in the flood, God's going to bring his judgment. There are pits of black darkness reserved for them, punishment in the day of judgment. Don't be out there chasing down and exposing, doing everything about the false guys, false guy followers, and finding this and that, and trying to let God take care of them. Just stay away from them. Now notice, his wrath is going to be spent. Back to our passage, verse 10. It is definitely because they've misled my people, saying peace when there is no peace. You see, God's people had rejected him, but were saying that they were following him. And they were in sin, and God was graciously saying, repent and turn to me. And if you don't, there's going to be judgment. And these false guys are saying, no, it's peace, it's fine. It's like the churches today that say, continue in your sin, God loves you, you're fine. No, you're not fine. You need your sins covered by the blood of Jesus Christ. You're not fine. There is no peace for the wicked, says my God. Isaiah 57, verse 21. Jeremiah 6, you can look at that. Jeremiah, let's turn to Jeremiah 6. You see, people are broken. And people need help. And people go to church for that. And bad guys superficially bind their wounds. Bad guys superficially fix them rather than giving them what they really need, which is to be right with the Lord, where he will fix you. Jeremiah 6, verse 10. To whom shall I speak and give warning that they may hear? Behold, their ears are closed. They cannot listen. Behold, the word of the Lord has become a reproach to them. They have no delight in it. They don't want to hear God's word. But I am full of the wrath of the Lord, and I am weary with holding in it. Pour it out on the children in the street and the gathering of young men together, for both husband and wife shall be taken, the age of the very old. The houses shall be turned over to others, their fields and their wives. I will stretch out my hand against the inhabitants of the land, declares the Lord, from the least of them to the greatest of them. Everyone is greedy for gain. And from the prophet, even the priest, everyone deals falsely. And they have healed the brokenness of my people superficially, saying peace, but there is no peace. Were they ashamed because of the abominations they have done? They were not even ashamed at all. They did not even know how to blush. Therefore they shall fall among those who fall. At that time I will punish them. They shall be cast down, says the Lord. God was patient, but the time is up.
If you've just tuned in, you're listening to Equipping the Saints with Greg Lundstedt. And Greg's message today is from his series in the book of Ezekiel. Now, you can hear today's message again by visiting our website, etsradio.org. That's etsradio.org. CDs of today's message or other messages are available at our website as well. And as a part of the ministry of Equipping the Saints, all our audio resources are available at no cost to you, thanks to the Lord's provision through the faithful support of friends of this broadcast. To order your complimentary CD, call us toll-free, 1-800-596-9144. That's 800-596-9144. If you prefer to request your complimentary CD by email, our email address is contact@etsradio.org. You know, Greg, in these final moments of today's program, what's one thing that we can take away from today's message?
Well, Dave, one thing that we can look at and remember is that God is patient, and yet he will bring about his judgment.
You see, false teachers and false prophets will not get away with what they're doing, although it appears as though they are. God will deal with them. God will bring them to judgment. Okay, with this in mind, we're not done with this passage yet, so make plans to join us tomorrow for our next edition of Equipping the Saints.
As we close today's broadcast, it's our prayer that the Word of God has done its work in your life and that you've been challenged and encouraged to follow Christ more closely. If you'd like a complimentary CD of today's broadcast, call us toll-free at 1-800-596-9144. That's 800-596-9144. If you prefer to request your complimentary CD by email, our email address is contact@etsradio.org. Well, we hope you'll make plans to join us again tomorrow, right here for another edition of Equipping the Saints. Equipping the Saints is a broadcast ministry of Equipping Bible Church.